Welcome. How we doing?
Good.
Great. And how we doing back there? All right. Good. Where are we at? Appreciate your willingness to speak up, but you're wrong. People online, lucky you're not here because you're getting called out if you are. Brad, where are we at? Yep. Calista, what chapter are we in? Israel?
Are we in chapter 18?
Not yet. And we're at the end of 17. We're gonna grab verse 22 to the end of the chapter, verse 26. And we're going to start with Roger and then go to Brad, one verse apiece, reading it out loud. And then I'm going to get some of your guys' input. What jumped out to you from these five verses here? Okay. When you're ready, Roger.
And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one.
I am them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me.
Father, I desire that they also, when you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world.
O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you. These have known that you sent me.
And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them.
Jumps out to you guys.
Well, for me, 23, verse 23, the perfection of unity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As we should be with the rest of the churches around the state, mm-hmm. country, around the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Dobson said verse 23 jumps out to him, the perfection of unity among the disciples of Christ. And not just amongst us, but amongst all of the disciples around the world, you know, brought together through his teaching, yeah. through the truth. Yeah. I definitely have some things I want to add on to that. So, great. What else jumps out to you guys this week? Yeah, well.
I think verse 24 basically his desire that they also, when you gave me, may be with me where I am. I just think about just how much Christ longs to have a relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah. I really appreciate, you know, that our Heavenly Father is the perfect teacher. And, I'm staring at my kid yesterday. He's just laying on the bed doing, you know, baby things. And it just, like, man, I want everything for him. And I want to be able to communicate to him how much I love him. And it's like, that's the relationship that God's used to define his relationship with us, a father and a son. And so he comes in the flesh. And he, through his life and his teaching that came from God and through his life as a bared witness, the sole purpose was to communicate the love that he has for us. Yet as he goes and goes and goes, he just meets rejection, rejection, rejection. That had to hurt. I mean, that had to hurt. But that's his desire. Not only to communicate to them the love that he has for them, that they may dwell with him. That's a powerful message, you know. And that we have access to that by faith now. But man, there is a faith that's going to become sight. And we're going to dwell together as the full family God in the heavenly places. And then we can have the complete presence, be in the complete presence of His glory. I mean, that's a great, it's a great message. It was a powerful one. What else jumped out to you guys?
I think, I don't know of any other place that I haven't ran across it really since this jumped out at me, but this is one of the few places that I see the wording.
that's also, you know, up to this point, you know, I'm with you. He's talked about how you can prove to be his disciple. But the emphasis here, especially at the beginning of the prayer, in John chapter 17, is understanding that through that unity and that displaying that love for one another, we prove that Jesus came from above. And that was his message. I mean, I don't know. Now you read the Gospel of John, sometimes it can feel like Jesus has the same message over and over and over again. I am from above. My Father is from above. I have come to do His will. That unity proves that Jesus came from above, that He is the Son of God, you know, the Messiah. Yeah, that's a really great point. What else? Anything else? Yes, Caleb. Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, that's kind of the purpose for which God created the world, was to share that with people who reciprocated it and reflected it. And so, as the thing I really noticed in this prayer is, he's praying this for the apostle. But this is what we get access to instantly through our faith. And then our faith will become sight, where which our full bodies and our full existence can dwell in that glory, that unapproachable light. And so, yeah, that's his desire. You know, I think of that God is righteousness. That he is truth, and that with him, without him, there is only darkness. Like, his desire is to dwell with others who desire that same thing, who want to be in the light. Yeah, and that's his prayer for them, is that they would be able to see that. And they did. Yeah. Anything else? Okay. And verse 22, he says, "The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one." And this really jumped out to me. And I touched on it a little bit last week. But man, it's like goosebump stuff. Because like for me, it connects a lot of dots. And a lot of light bulbs go off. And maybe it'll do the same for you. Because he said in verse 21 that they may be one. And this oneness that he's describing, he backs up by comparing the oneness that he shares with the Father. So this isn't a, like, we all enjoy the same hobbies, so we meet in Brad's basement on Thursday, unity. Like, this is a spiritual unity that Jesus shares with the Father. That's big time. And how is he going to get all of us, kind of going back to what Dave said, how is he going to take all of us who are different in just about every single way and bring us all together in a unity that this world can't even put its finger on? How is he going to do that?
His word never changes.
Verse 21, he says that they'll be one, the oneness that I have with the Father and you and me, so that the world may know that you sent me. And I'll do it in verse 22 by sharing them with my glory. That's how he does it. So you say that and you're like, what does that mean? I think it's tremendous. I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here, but I mean, that's the mechanism by which he's going to bring about this unity, is the sharing of his glory. Okay. I'm going to touch on that a little more, so if that doesn't make sense, we're coming back to it. Okay. I want to go over to Matthew chapter 5. The verse jumped out to Roger talking about that unity, man. It is that they may be perfected in unity. And perfection doesn't leave a lot of error for imperfection. I mean, it is perfection, man. I'm really wowing you guys today. The story I shared last week, I remember I had met a guy through that I sold a car to, and you know, he found out what I was doing, so we met for a couple Bible studies, and you know, he found out that there was like this revival going on at the Billings West High School, and it was to bring unity amongst the churches here in Billings. Okay, that's not unity, because the unity that's being backed up by the powerful prayer of Jesus here is a unity that can only be found for those who are unified in the truth. Only those who are receiving and reflecting Jesus' glory. And you ain't going to stand in that glory if you're not of the truth. You're not going to stand in that glory and reflect it if you are not following the one shepherd, hearkening unto his voice. He's not going to do it. There's no unity there. Okay? But that's driven by mankind and their desire of what they kind of, you know, what their self-perceived, you know, perception of what unity is. Unity in the Lord is dying on the hill called truth and sacrificing and following Jesus no matter what. I mean, that's what unity is. And so I thought of Matthew chapter 5 because Jesus has been, you know, preaching on the mountain here for a little bit of time here. And, you know, he gets into verse 43. He says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And I say, do you love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you?" Okay. He's talking about showing love towards all men. In verse 47, he says, "If you greet your brother, what more are you doing than the others? Not even the Gentiles do the same?" Man, this love that's from above's got to extend a little more of it, you know, further than those who are nice to you. And so that's the context of what he's talking about. And he says, therefore, verse 48, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You have to love perfectly. Okay? Now, don't let someone take this and twist it up and say, well, Jesus is only asking you to love perfectly. He's not saying that you have to be perfect. And I think this gets brought up really well here in the assembly. But Brad, you're not going to love your brother in the assembly perfectly without perfect character. Because you're going to lack, for example, patience. You could lack, for example, kindness, tolerance, forgiveness. If you lack that character, are you going to love perfectly? And so I got thinking about it because, you know, participation in Jesus' glory is required, is truly required of a spiritual people, and not just people who are packing the pews or the bleachers at West High to pump up the numbers, masking it with this form of unity. That's not it. It comes from unity and loving perfectly, which Jesus is tying in together here. Okay, comes from reflecting His glory. Comes from growing in your character and growing in your faith. And so without it, you're not going to love perfectly. You're not going to have a perfected unity. Okay? So, you know, he says, "The glory which you had given me, I had given to them," in verse 22, "that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me." Okay? And so I'll just reiterate, it's a powerful prayer. Powerful. Not one to just read over, but to let sink in. That he would share of his glory that he has with the Father, with the apostle. And we have access to that as well. Let's go to 1 John. Jesus' prayer, that they would have what I have with you. The glory which I had with you, Lord, that they may have as well. And in 1 John chapter 4, following the same context of love being perfected, okay, same writer, so we can see the mindset, similar mindset working, okay. Verse 17, he says, "By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world." You guys ever stopped and paused and thought about that? Because you have access to that through your faith. That as He is, so get that mental picture of Jesus as He is. Okay, and if He looks like a dude, okay, that's not Him. He's in His glory in the heavenly places. Now, I gave you a hard task because I don't know what that looks like either. But His point is as He is, so are you in this world. If you've clothed yourself with Christ and you believe with a faith that comes from above, I mean, that's a powerful message. That's what Jesus is praying for here. kind of the picture I get when I think about why is he saying this or what is the thrust behind it. It's his desire. It's for them to understand that they have with him what he has with the Father. It's powerful. Any comments or thoughts on that?
How long do you think it took them to get it? Do you think they got that right away?
I think a lot of it culminated in Acts chapter 2.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
You know, because the Gospel of John's really great for letting us know that, hey, the apostles didn't understand the significance of what was unfolding before them until he had been glorified. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. We do need to touch on 2 Corinthians chapter 3 because we didn't last week, and I mentioned it just kind of in passing earlier. I would like to talk about this just for a minute, kind of get your guys' thoughts as what does this look like? Or, you know, if you had to regurgitate this and explain it back to someone, what does this mean? We'll just grab we'll just start in verse 17 for the sake of time. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." Action-packed. If you had to, if someone said, sitting from across the table from you in a Bible study, what does that mean? How would you explain that? The face is unveiled through the flesh of Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice. And so if we've been immersed into Christ, that veil's been removed. It no longer lies over us. And it's like, okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, now you can understand the fullness of God's word. It's a picture I get. Okay? We know that the mirror is representative of his word. You can look at James, you can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay? And so we, those who are disciples of Christ, who have been immersed and put on Christ, can behold in his word the glory of the Lord. Okay? But the purpose of it is to take it in, and this is where you guys finish it for me, and reflect it back out. Okay? Yeah. Christianity 101. That's it right there. Okay? But it is only, and so this is the point I really want to bring out, it is only through that process that unity is brought in. That's it. I don't care how many times you meet with the West High Gymnasium, it is not unity that Jesus prays for in John chapter 17 without people who abide in the truth, who are receiving Jesus' glory, his picture of his radiance, of his glory that Hebrews says is the very nature of God. And reflecting that back out in our life. Yeah. 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 I mean, Saul, now the Apostle Paul, a perfect example of reflecting God's glory in someone's life. It changes your life. Because if your life is not being changed, you gotta look. You gotta look at the inside. You have to look at, are you receiving, you know, Jesus' glory? Okay. And so, the only mechanism by which unity is achieved, the only one, is each and every single one of you here right now, including myself, being active participants in that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The big one, reading the word, right? Okay, that's why these guys get up here and they're like, pray, pray, pray. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Pray. I mean, that's the active process by which this unity is going to come. Okay. I mean, think about it. I mean, if there's any shortness of, we have 5 minutes left. Wow. If there's any shortness of that being achieved in the Lord's body, it's because one of you guys is slipping. And the honest reality is most of us slip. So what are we going to do? This thing that Jesus is praying for, man, we got to pick this thing back up and challenge ourselves to be more active participants in receiving that glory. I mean, that's why I love the way Romans chapter 12 is worded. You know, it's, set your mind and you'll be transformed. But you don't get to transform your heart. God does that. He needs your mindset. He needs your mindset. Okay. This is where you're going to set it on. Okay? You know, I think, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I would like to touch on this. You know, we'll soak up a little of our time with this. Because I think it's super applicable and has hit every one of us to some level. Because I think it's pretty common and somewhat normal for the group to become a little discouraged when the whole group isn't perfected in unity. Very discouraging. I'll speak for myself, and I've spoken with many of you, so I know it's similar in your own lives, but you come in and you're excited for the salvation that Jesus promises you, that life that you'll never die as long as you believe in Him. And you get this picture in your mind that everybody's devoting their lives to the Lord, and then you show up to assembly and someone's mean to you. And so the natural reaction is, that doesn't belong here. That's where disunity would come from. In 1 Corinthians, did I say chapter 10? Oh, I'm in chapter 10. I don't know why. Chapter 1, you guys are right. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm thinking out loud. I flip my numbers a lot, so. First, I'm going to point while I say it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Dave, would you read that? Yes.
I exhort you, brethren, by the same of, hold on, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and the same judgment.
Isn't that the goal? That there be no divisions among you, and that you be brought together and made complete in the same mind. So it's a very natural response that when you don't see that, to say that doesn't belong here. Okay, let's go over to chapter 3. And Frank, would you just grab 1, 2, 3?
1, 2, 3?
Yeah. So now we see that there is a lack of perfection or unity. Ooh, it's in the church in Corinth, so we understand that. Okay? The letter's kind of aimed at handling some real issues and some real questions that the disciples in Corinth have about what do we do. Okay? And he says, you're not mature men, you're babies. You're weak. Okay? So what's the answer? Kick them out? Give up on them? No, he writes a letter in the form of reproof and correction and exhortation to try to get them back on track. And so, you know, I think it's important. I think it's important for the church to remember that, man, we're always bringing people in. And Peter would tell them that God has given them a perfected conscience in their immersion, but, man, their personality's got to catch up. They got to catch up. Okay? Now, Not to say that, so I'm using new ones as an example, not to say that there's not some, you know, older ones walking around that are still spiritual babies, but at the end of the day, I think it's important for the church to understand that it's literally an incubator. And it's got chicks coming in all the time that are looking to those who have gone on before to figure out, how do I do this? I mean, Paul's bold, and he says, I became your father through the gospel. And he goes on further to say, imitate me as I imitate the Lord. You know, so I think it's important to remember that. I mean, the natural response is we look out there and sometimes we don't always see that. But it's a process. And it's one that Jesus was even willing to be patient with. Because right here, he says that they may be perfected. Those are important words. Okay? In verse 23. I in them, and they in me, that they may be perfected. A process. That's an important reminder for us. Okay? That we are all at different stages in our faith, and that the requirement from the throne in heaven is that there is a spirit of repentance alive in you, and that you're willing to grow. And the rest of us are to come together and to help in the attaining of that unity. I mean, you look at Ephesians, man, and we got that great list of all these things that God's given to the church, which he communicates by the form of gifts. Prophets, teachers, evangelists, for the purpose of building up the unity of the faith. And we are all here right now. That's why I get so excited about these Wednesday night groups, because you're all here and you're committed to it. And whether you've completely figured it out yourself, but you're here not just for you. You're here for me. Isabel's here for Kendra. Like, we are here to help each other make it. Yeah. It's a great gift, but it's a great responsibility. But it's a process. It's a process. Okay. We got just a couple minutes here as we kind of wind down. There was a few things from the notes I wanted to read to you guys that I thought were really great. Some thoughts that Luke shared. He said, individually, what are you doing to be transformed by Christ's glory? Because at the end of the day, if you're willing or at least able to see the road bumps in the church or to see the lack of unity, you got one responsibility, to keep pointing it out. No, to keep working on you. Keep working on you. Okay? So what are you doing to be active participants and taking in Christ's glory? Because that is the only way that unity is going to be perfected. Okay. And so he just said, what are you doing to be transformed by Christ's glory? What are you doing to grow to the measure of the stature of Christ? Are you reading God's word? Seeing the glorified Christ revealed therein. We talked about that in 2 Corinthians 3. Okay. Are you praying? Speaking with the God of glory. What happened to the last dude that spoke to God? In Exodus, man. Face lit up because of the glory of the Lord. Man, you're praying and talking to the Lord and reading His word. Man, glory. Glory. Okay. But that veil's removed, and now we want to come back to the camp of Israel and the saints and let it shine, even out into the world. Okay. I thought this was really great. I'll share it with you guys. Faith, hope, and love abide in the church of Christ. But at some point, that faith is going to become sight. Right? So now faith's gone. And Paul would write to the Romans and say, what's hope if you've seen it? You can't hope for what you've seen, because then it's not hope. So when the Lord comes back and His church comes together, okay, it is going to be love that remains. And that's why he says the greatest of these is love. You know, and the same writer here in his epistles makes the point twice that God is love. You see, that's why the message of unity and love are going in one another, because you can't be in Him and He can't be in you if you don't love. Okay? And that's the point. I mean, that's why Jesus put such a emphasis on that. And, you know, God demonstrated His love. He kind of talked about that a little bit in the opening, that He was willing to sacrifice His Son. I can't imagine that. I'm still trying to get my faith on that level. Be willing to do something like that. Because He is good and He is righteous. So, it's not surprising. I guess the reason why I bring it up, it's not surprising to us that towards the end here, that Jesus is about to cross, that the culmination of His prayer would be on love. That the culmination of His teaching would be on love. It's who God is. And it's how you can be perfected. And I just love that that's where Jesus sticks that in Matthew chapter 5. He's talking about loving others and loving, extending beyond that even towards your enemies. Because it's who God is. And that's how you'll be perfected in unity. Be a love. Okay, so. Any thoughts or comments? What do we got here? Verse 24. We got to finish these verses, right? Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. And that's why I added, I guess Caleb's not here. This is the purpose that God had before he created the world, was to share that glory with others who are willing to worship him in spirit. That's how God desires worship. Okay. So that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And it closes as it began. That through this, the world may know that Jesus was sent from above. Okay? And that I have made known your name, that I have made your name known among them and will make it known, so that the love with which you love me may be in with them and I in them. Okay? I'll just read this last line here, and then I'll get your closing thoughts. Okay. It says, the words of Jesus' prayer must never die out. Jesus makes the Father's name known to the disciples. But the love with which the Father loved him might be in all disciples. God's love for each disciple is incredible, and his ability to spread his love through his disciples is even more incredible. This was a plan in motion, a plan to make his love known throughout the world. God is love. Do we pray this prayer, believing that it will come to pass? Prayer increases our faith. You can kind of see Jesus' ministry coming on earth, coming to an end. You know, that was the one thing that really kind of jumped out. I guess the other thing that kind of jumped out to me this week. Jesus taught a lot. And so much of what he has done is to show that he has come from above. Man, I think about raising Lazarus from the dead. Man, he let him die. And when he eventually shows up, he says, so that God may be glorified. Because when he raises him from the dead, the people are going to say, this man's from God. And they did. Okay. Heals the blind man. Okay. Rabbi, teacher, whose sin was it? His sin or his parents' sin, why he's blind? And Jesus says, it's not because of sin that he's blind. It's so that God's righteousness can be communicated to you guys. So much of Jesus' ministry was miracle and teaching, trying to communicate, I am he that came from above. I am he who will set you free from your sins. And then towards the end here, it's like now he's delivering like the big punch, like the, this is the takeaway from everything. Unity. Unity. But it's only attained through love. Because if we pull that off, it witnesses to the whole world that not only did Jesus come from above, but that God is right. He is righteous. And that his plan works. And that there's truth. Praying this for the apostle, how'd they do? Man, they hit it out of the park. This unity. They hit it out of the park. And now, the church that was ushered in through their doctrine is carrying out the very same commission. It's an amazing prayer. Jesus prayed it for the apostle, and now we got it to teach us about our purpose. Man, unity is everything. Unity is everything. It only comes if we're willing to love. What kind of closing comments do you guys have? I'd love to hear from you.
I do a lot of self-evaluation.
Sure.
Okay? And I can see what's in front of me. I can't see what's behind me. So when I come in here, I mean, because I can't see behind me, I kind of expect one of my brothers or sisters to point out and say, hey, you know, I see you're struggling in this area. You might not see it, but I can see it. I've never actually done that with a brother. I've never actually, maybe Mr. Dunbar, but it's something that I guess it's something that I expect one of my brothers to do for me. Because if I saw somebody struggling, I'd want to point out to him so try to help him out in that area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I would hope.
I mean, I feel like if I completely answered, I'd be speaking somewhat for you and for everyone else. But here's what I think of.
Okay.
If anybody challenges me to be the best version of myself every day, it's that lady right there. Okay? Because of how unified we are. Like, she knows what I think. She knows what I think. I know what she thinks sometimes. Okay? Like, we can't get anything past one another. So if one of us is slipping, we're like, you're slipping. Okay? But that's only achievable because of the relationship that we've built with one another. That's the unity. You see, there is a special unity that God has between a man and a woman, specifically for the purpose of being able to understand and appreciate the love that Jesus has for his church. But there is a brotherly love. There is a how beautiful and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It takes special relationships in order to be able to call those things out. It takes a special... So that's why I say, like, I'm not speaking for you. I'm not going to speak for your friends, or for anyone else here, other than there are people who I'm close with that I say, reproof. Okay? But I am not the right person for that message for every person in the congregation because I haven't built that relationship
with
them.
True. Okay. That's
unity.
True.
Okay? Yeah. So, yeah.
That point's achieved through time, right?
Yes. It's the only way. Right.
Like one person I'm getting that relationship, it's after about a year with an invested time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I think Christ is getting at here, that we can apply better in our Christian walk, is to spend some time with each other.
Yep.
Right.
Because when you build that relationship, then it has the ability to reproof and to sharpen each other.
If each person just gets one problem solved.
I mean, I was actually thinking about that today as I was preparing for the class. Like, I have people over. A lot of you guys have been in my house. Like, the first time we got together for lunch, it was probably kind of awkward. I don't know you. You don't know my habits, you know? And now I got this group that comes over on Wednesday, man, and they just walk in my door and eat my food and sit on my couch, and half the time they just fall asleep. Like, but man, I just realized we've been doing that for 2-3 years. It literally took that long. Literally took that long. But that's the unity. Yeah, Leah.
And I think to kind of put together, like your religious saying day is, you know, true. But as we read Jesus and hear the scripture, that will be as happy Jesus and like him, show the glory. We're going to talk to those that he spent 3 years with. But if you watch his whole ministry, you can talk to people who just know the street.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it all comes back to us individually participating in the gospel, in the imitating of Jesus Christ. Excellent point. Well, nobody else is done, but that doesn't mean we have to be, but we'll stop. Okay. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, what a great and awesome God you are. Lord, we just pause for a moment to think and to really remember and to realize, Lord, you hear us. Lord, you are hearing this very prayer, and you desire it, and it is pleasing to you. Lord, you love the world. You are willing to send your Son, to be rejected by it, to usher in a salvation for those who are willing to repent at that message that Jesus is the Son of God, who was sacrificed for the sins of the world. Lord, you desire a fellowship with your people. Lord, and we are so thankful that we can be called yours, to know you, or to rather, to be known by you. It's a great calling that which you have called us through the gospel, one that requires a response. Lord, we know that we're not saved in this life based on what we do, but that we're saved by our faith. And Lord Jesus, you prayed fervently for the apostles to buy into your plan, for them to see the greatness at which it is that you can share with us if we will only access it by faith. And I am so thankful that we have access to your glory, to your oneness, to the family of God, to your very presence through faith. That if we will just grow that faith and allow it to be as big as the faith that Jesus had, that we can actually behold your glory through the scriptures and replicate that in our lives. But Lord, your prayer is so that through that, through us reflecting that glory, not only amongst one another, but in the world, that it would bear witness to your truth, that it would bear witness to your righteousness and that you are good and that without you there is nothing else. It's a message that the world desperately needs. Just challenge us this week and encourage us to be active participants in our faith, in our walk, in the gospel, praying, taking in the word, growing our faith through the hearing of the word of Christ, and building relationships with others, being active members and participants, being willing to share it and to receive it, to encourage and to look out for others. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys.